I'd like to invite you over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15.
Ephesians 1, 15 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne again this afternoon, thanking you for this time that we have to open your word. Lord, may we never take it for granted. May we always cherish and consider it a privilege to look to you for your truths, Lord, and guidance in our lives, and Lord, your will for us. Bless your word, bless your people, and Lord, empower our hearts and minds, and fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might honor and glorify you. And again, we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of this afternoon is simply an example of what our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should look like, what it should look like. And if it doesn't, we can always ask the Lord, Lord, allow it to go in that direction. Help us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. So first of all, I just want to take a few moments to look at faith in the Lord, thankfulness to the Lord, and what the Lord desires to give us, and why we should expect God to fulfill his promise to us. So first of all, we find faith in the Lord. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord..." This is something that people on the outside ought to be able to see what's happening on the inside of our lives, what God is doing in our faith to the Lord, our commitment to him because of his grace working in us. And he says, "And love to all the saints." That's how it's seen, by the love that we have towards all the saints. And are all the saints always easy to love? No. Why? Why is that? Well, because we're human, aren't we? But in the grace of God, we ought to be able to love one another and give the same mercy and same grace that God gives to us that we would give to others, and overlook the imperfections, because God's still working on us. We don't use that as an excuse, but sometimes our faith is stronger than other times. Sometimes, and that's really because we're more in tune with the Lord and his leading in our lives. And I think God gives us that love and that ability to overlook the flaws and the shortcomings in other believers' lives. And so he says this, he says, because of that, he says, verse 16, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul is saying, I want you to know I am thankful for fellow believers in the Lord that are striving to seek the Lord and to follow the Lord. I want you to know that you bring honor and glory to God when you seek him through church worship, when you seek him by asking him to fulfill his will and enabling us to love one another and to walk in his ways. This honors the Lord, and it also encourages other believers to pray for you, right? I'm blessed also to pray for the membership of Northwood Baptist Church. I go through our church director, I get to see your picture, and pray that God will continue to bless you, bless your family, and even answer the prayers that you're asking God for, that he would meet the needs that we have in our own personal lives. And then verse 17, we'll take a look at what God desires to give to us. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto" who? Unto you. So we find here the Lord desires to give us something, right? Notice what this is. Again, verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you" what? "The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So Christ has a lot to do with everything, doesn't he? Specifically in the life of the individual believer. Why would Paul ask, and why would Paul make mention to the Ephesian church of what he's asking God for? So that we can be on the same page to expect what God is wanting to give to us. Jesus said, listen, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father know how to give good things to his children, especially when we ask him for the filling of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and our minds He does not want us to lean to our own understanding, because if we look at life through our eyes and through our understanding, we're going to miss the Lord. We're going to be very short-tempered. We're not going to be very long-suffering. We will not experience what God wants to have in our lives. So God says, how do you get these things? Well, God gives it to us that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in verse 17 in the knowledge of him. So as we study the word of God, we understand to a greater extent of what God is wanting to give to us. And then he says, he makes a crazy statement in the book of Hebrews we'll look at in just a moment. But look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened, right? That's an opening. So hold your place right here. And I just want to show you something here in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. And look at verse 7. We're going to go back to Ephesians. But let me show you something to think about and to take with you. Hebrews 7, and look at verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Well, what is he talking about? Well, look at verse 1 here. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being in by interpretation, king of righteousness, that after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth priest continually. Now go back to the book of Ephesians and let me give you something to think about. What the writer of the book of Hebrews was trying to tell us is that the priesthood of Melchizedek is better than the priesthood of Levi or better than the priesthood of Aaron. Well, why is that? Well, because Abraham paid tithes to priest Melchizedek, did he not? That means Melchizedek came before Levi, because Levi wasn't born yet, because he came from who? Jacob, right? So you've got Abraham first, and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, which means that through Abraham, Levi and Aaron paid tithes to who? Melchizedek, right? So it came through him. And why is that? Because Jesus is above all the priesthood, right? He didn't come out of Levi, did he? He didn't come from the lineage of Aaron, because he was before all of that. So in Christ, we have a greater priest. Amen. We have something that surpasses the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ was making biblical declarations. He had the authority. Listen, Christ had the authority to override or reaffirm and confirm the truth. What do I mean by that? Well, he said, you've heard it's been said that it's wrong to steal. But he says, but I say unto you, what is he doing? He is expounding and writing the scriptures and saying that listen, it's wrong to commit murder. If you hate your brother, you've committed murder already in your heart. He's taking it to another level. And so in Christ, God is taking the believer to a completely different level. We're not looking at what is right and wrong. We're not looking to the priestly tribe of Levi or to the lineage of Aaron. We're looking to Melchizedek. And God is wanting us to understand, don't look to the beggarly things of this world, but look to those things that come from above. So notice this, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding in the New Testament, the eyes of the New Testament believer, you've been given revelations that the Old Testament believers hadn't quite received just yet. They haven't been given yet. And so we've been given a greater glory because of a greater revelation. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Who's that? God's calling, amen? God's calling in our lives, and what the riches of the glory of who? His inheritance, right? In the saints. Did you see that? His inheritance where? In the saints, in your life and mine. And so we need to say, Lord, what is this that you're trying to tell me? You're enlightening my understanding that we might know a different kind of greater degree of the hope that you've given to us, and specifically of the inheritance that he has given and expects to have in the saints. So what do we do? Do we walk away befuddled with that, or do we say, Lord, explain to me personally? See, not to the church, not to a building, and not to a group of people, but to me personally, Lord, help me to understand this inheritance that you promised to who? Did he just promise it to the preacher? Did he just promise it to the Sunday school teacher? Or did he promise it to all the saints? And a saint is a believer, please. A lot of people think a saint is something that is so far above. No, listen, saints are imperfect, and saints are simply believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So, verse 19, he says this, and not only is your understanding being enlightened, and not only does he want you to understand what the inheritance of the saints are or is, verse 19, and what is the what? Exceeding greatness. He's speaking to believers, is he not? Exceeding greatness. What is it when something is exceeding, right? You don't want to get pulled over and a police officer say to you, do you know that you have exceeded the speed limit? That means if it was 65 or 70, you were going beyond that, right? So listen to this. Listen. And what is the exceeding greatness beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding, the greatness of God's power in our life? So let me ask you, should we ask the Lord to reveal to you and I, what are you talking about, God? There, or should we just say, well, you know, it's just words on a page. I'm a saved child of God. And yes, you know, this is true. But exactly what it means to me, I really don't know. And we won't know until we seek the Lord personally and say, Lord, explain this to me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to where? To usward. To usward. Do you think God wants the believer to understand what he's talking about? Is it important to the Lord? Will it glorify God for us to understand what he's talking about? I'm convinced, no doubt. And what, verse 19 again, is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of what? His mighty power. Okay, God. It sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, God's wanting to do something in your life and mine as a believer, not according to our power, but according to his what? Mighty power. Wow. Wow. It sounds like God has privileged the believer to seek out something that God... Now listen, is he in the book of Ephesians, is he talking to children of God? Is he talking to believers? Absolutely. He's talking to his church. And so is this word of God also intended for every believer throughout all the ages? Do you mean to tell me that God has made a promise to you and me concerning his mighty power working in our lives? So here's the question. Is God's mighty power working in our lives? And if it's not working, where's the problem? Is it with God's power? Or is it with us understanding how God wants to work in our lives? And so God is saying, I am wanting to do a mighty work in your life, and he wants to do it in my life by his power. I think it would benefit the believer to say, please, God, that I might understand this truth. Let me ask you a question. How did you understand your need for salvation? Did not God bring you to that understanding that you understood for yourself? Okay, so the same way you got saved by God revealing and giving you that understanding that you know because you experienced God is the same exact way that he wants to glorify himself. This is mind-boggling to me in your life and mine. Isn't that amazing? God is wanting to bless. We're almost finished here. Ready? Let's look at this again just for a second. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness beyond our limits, beyond our abilities, right? Exceeding greatness of his power. Is God's power great?
Amen.
How far past our power is God's power great? Isn't that amazing? And he wants that in your life and mine. May we possibly be selling God short? Is it possible that we do not have enough understanding to ask God to give us more understanding on this truth that he's wanting for your life and mine? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? according to the working of his mighty power, which, notice, he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you remember? Listen, there are people, that's resurrection power. See, the blood gives us redemption. But the resurrection power empowers our life and gives us victory on this side of eternity. So may we never settle and say, oh yeah, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, that's true, but my goodness, we're also empowered by the power of God. Am I making that up? If we're not careful, you know what happens? We just leave it right there. Well, that sounded good. It was interesting, but let me go back to my life now. What? Is that what God wants us to do? Well, let me just go back to my humdrum everyday, you know, routine of life and not experience and not see the fiery bush and not see the things that are parting and moving out of our way by the glory of God, by the grace of God to give us his victory and his power, because that's how the world is going to see. By your life and my life being awed by the power of God, we're going like, woo! Man, what God is doing and what God wants to do is amazing, and the world will see that. Not just an expression of that, but the actual reality of those things taking place in our lives. So notice, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, why is he telling us that? Because that is the power of God to usward. That is God's mighty power in our lives. So it would behoove the believer to seek that out, that God may fulfill that in our lives. Listen, it is not God's will for you and I to be mediocre Christians. He does not want us to be just mediocre. Why? Why? Because God's not mediocre, is he? So listen, what kind of a testimony does God want us to have? In a nutshell, his power in our lives. Not ours. I know you love the Lord. I love the Lord. But still, God does not want to say, okay, I'm going to do these things. We've missed it. Because God won't bless what we do for him, but he will bless us with what he wants to do for us. And if we're not careful, listen, God's not going to do anything for us as long as we're trying to do it for him. And so we need to be ready to say, okay, God, I'm done because I'm tired of failing. And this and that load that I've been trying to do for you, it's unbearable. Listen, so how do you think Peter felt when he told the lame man, and by the way, God gave him the confidence it was going to come to pass. God gave him all of it, the faith and everything. And he went up leaping and praising the Lord. Remember when him and John, Peter and John? The Holy Spirit was having free reign in the life of Peter. And he was talking and preaching about all the good things of God. And then he said, why are you looking at us as if by our own power we've made this man whole? Do you think he was enjoying what he was saying? Absolutely. He was enjoying saying, listen, the same Jesus whom you crucified. Now, I don't think he was trying. But remember Peter? He's the one that said, I'll never forsake you, Lord. Did he put his foot in his mouth? He did, didn't he? Did God forgive him and do even better with him than Peter could have ever done for the Lord? Let me say that again. Did God forgive him and God do even better with Peter than Peter could have done for God? Amen. That's what God's wanting to do for us. But Peter was too busy, and so are we, trying because we love the Lord, that we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And God's saying, listen, when you get tired, call me. When you get tired of doing it, and then when you come to me asking me to do for you, then we're in business. Then we'll do business. And it will glorify the Lord. And Peter, when he was telling them, the same Jesus whom you crucified, he was wanting them to see the error of their way, just like he saw the error of his way, and God turned his life around. God wants to turn our lives around for his glory. I'm telling you, I know, we are stubborn in our thinking. We are, and God knows it. But he wants to give us this understanding, and it's never too late with the Lord. It's never too late. So notice this. He says, I want you to know that this power comes from heavenly places, from the right hand of God, verse 19, and that it is far above all principality. You mean higher than the principality of the president's office? Oh boy, yeah, I'd say that's far short. You mean to tell me far above all the NFL athletes? Oh yeah, all higher than the NBA players can jump and throw a basketball? Oh listen, that doesn't even light a candle to what God wants to do. We're so awed by the things that are passing away, and we're missing out what God wants to do in our lives. We're so awed by the weakness, the really temporal things that are passing away. And I'm not saying, and I don't think God is saying that we can't enjoy those things, but I'm afraid we're more awed at the things that are temporal and what we used to do and what we could do and what they can do and what they can't do. Where's God? And what he can do. And in what he wants to do. And guess where? In your life and mine. Wow. So notice this. Ready? Far above all principality, verse 21, and power, and might, I like that, and dominion, and in every name that is named. And think of all the names you want to name. God's far above them. Not just a little bit. He's way far above them. I mean, all the names of this world are like cockroaches compared to the name of God that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Wow, there's a world to come. Amen?
Amen.
And he hath put all things under his feet, who gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, God wants to fill us with himself. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something to think about? When will we seek God to fulfill his promise in us? When will we say, God, this word that you just gave me in my life, please help me to understand what you want to do in my life. And this is God's example of what our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should look like. And what is that? God's power, the inheritance that he's given to us, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, verse 19, who believe according to the working of his mighty power in our lives. Wow. Wow. For you and for me. I want to be encouraged in that. How about you? I want to experience that before I see Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
That's why we can know there's a crown laid up for us. If God's power is working in us, he will bring it to pass. But my power will never touch the power of God, never come close. But boy, oh boy, listen, God's promise, God's truth to you and me is he wants to do it in us. If we'll just say, yes, Lord, even today, Lord, begin to show me how that works. But we must ask him. Amen? So the promise is God's. The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this afternoon, thanking you again for the reminder of what you've given to us already. We don't have to ask you to do this. You've already done it. You've already shed your blood. You've already risen again. You've already indwelt us. You've already given all of these things. We just need to ask you to understand how we walk in those things that have already been given. May you give us the faith to believe all these things that we've already been given to receive them. Bless your word. Bless your people. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.